you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
So you can go ahead and open back over to Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to move forward in this. We've been talking, for those of you, we have some new people here. We've been talking about this subject, living in your land of promise. We've been drawing out of the verses in Joshua chapter 3 where Israel is going in to actually take possession of what God has promised to them, and we are bringing that into a New Testament context, looking at principles found in those verses about how we can live so that we are taking hold of the promises of God for us. The Bible has over 7,000 promises, and it says that all of them belong to us right now in Christ. So we're watching what Israel does, and we're drawing principles from that. Last week, I just want to remind you of a few points that we covered last week. The first one was that the Lord spoke his word to Israel before he sent them into the Jordan, okay? He told them what was going to happen. He told them what would happen when the priests stepped into the water with the ark. He told them exactly what would happen in advance. And we drew from that the fact that the word that the Lord is speaking to us any given day, but the word that the Lord is speaking to you today is a word that you are going to have to very soon stand on, okay? So it's important that we be spending time with the Lord and keeping track of what he's saying. What's he impressing upon you? What's coming alive from the scripture in you at any given time? And even if that doesn't, in your mind right now, in your thinking right now, I've had this so many times where I want God to talk to me about this subject, but he talks to me about this subject. Well, I finally learned to pay attention to this subject because that's the one I'm going to need. And the fact is, he's got this one covered too. Okay? So the word he's speaking to you today, that's the word you're going to need very soon. So it's important that we listen to that. He told Israel, here's how you're going to know that I will be with you to overcome all of these ites, all of these other cities. He said, here's how you're going to know, because when the priests go in, the river's going to back up. In other words, he said, the miracle that happens today, when we have a miracle, an answered prayer, a breakthrough, every one of those speaks of God's willingness and intention to do the next thing, okay? And that's what he said. He said, you guys going in and experiencing this miracle in crossing the Jordan River is how you're going to know when you get to each one of these cities and you face different armies and different opponents. This is how you're going to know. So we want to keep track of every miracle that takes place in our life. Speaking of that, last week, here's another thing I have to talk about today besides the word. So last week we had a word about, we prayed for a lot of people for healing last week. And one of the words had to do with somebody having a problem with their thumb. Remember that? Was there anybody in here that was a word for you, by the way? That was for you too? Okay, cool. Maybe you'll tell us about it. But Jerry Garza was here last week, our friend, and for you. All right, we had several thumbs that were having trouble last week. Jerry had been, and she sent me pictures of it, her thumb had been for some time all swollen up. She didn't do anything to it that she knew of, but it was so sensitive that she just couldn't even touch it. It was big, it was swollen, she was having all these problems with it. She got prayed for last week. In fact, she wrote all this down in the testimony book out front, so you can read about it. I'm sure she's did a better job than I'm doing right now. But anyway, after we prayed for that, all that swelling was gone, all that pain was gone. And she told us the next day, or maybe it was that night anyway, she said, I've been hitting it on the table to just show myself how much it doesn't hurt. And I said, well, don't do that. You know, I mean, you might want to stop that now. But anyway, so that was great. Do any of you guys want to share? I mean, just shout out. What happened to your thumb? can open things without pain. Awesome. God is good. Okay. What happened, Tim? All right. Jammed it. Got swollen. Anybody else have a healing take place last week? Okay. Well, so talking about this, the Lord told them, this is how you're going to know that God is among you and that he will be with you. So it's important that we keep track of testimonies. We remember what God has done because it always, anything he does once, he will do again. He never changes, right? We talk about this pretty frequently. All right. So we also saw that he said, choose 12 men. We're going to talk about this somewhat today. He said, choose 12 men. This was before they did anything. And in chapter 3, he doesn't really tell us why you're choosing the 12 men. But what they were doing was they were assigned to go out once the priests got out there and the river backs up, which we're going to look at today. They picked up rocks, 12 of them, one for each tribe of Israel, took them to where they slept. They set up that memorial. So the point was, faith looks for the testimony, prepares for the testimony before the miracle even happens. So when we are in a place where we're standing, we're believing, we're praying for something, there can be that place in our heart where we're already anticipating the testimony, not just the event, but the testimony afterwards and what that testimony will bring to others. So we looked at that last week. You can get all of this if you go back and watch the YouTube video or listen to the podcast. And then he said that the ark would go in before them. He told them that his presence and his covenant would go in before them. And from that, we looked at a number of scriptures, talked about that there's no battle that we will ever face in life that hasn't been faced and overcome before. God has gone ahead of us. Into whatever we're facing, the Lord's already there. Okay? So let's move on, and we're going to begin in, I'm going to start reading in verse 14. You have 15 and 16 up there. I'm going to read 14 through 17 of Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to dig some things out of this. So it says, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet, notice that word yet, as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. So again, we've said this many times, nothing. Remember, that river represents a barrier that had to be broken for people to enter what God had promised. All right, so that could be any type of thing in our lives from a New Testament perspective that is trying to rob us of or prevent us from receiving from the promises of God, the things that Jesus died in order to give us. All right, and nothing happened until somebody took up the presence of God and the covenant and went into that impossible situation. But once they did, not only themselves, but everybody else could get across and begin to experience the promises of God, what God had promised. I love verse 15 because it says, the river was at flood stage. Okay, it was all spread out. It was big. It was fast. It was powerful. Yet, or but, okay? But as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the edge of the water from upstream stopped flowing. That is one of those we call those, but God moments, right? We see that throughout the scripture. It says, da 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 da, but God did this. God intervened. God stepped in, right? A but God moment. And we have those all the time. Well, the doctor said this, but God said this, okay? The checkbook says this, but God says this, okay? The influencer on the internet says this, but God says this. My emotions, my own emotions, my own feelings are saying this, but God says this. It is an intervention scripture. It is a place where God steps in. And we have these all the time. And we can not create them. That's not the right word. But we need to remember this. We need to be the ones that say, but God. It looks like this. The river's flooding. But yet, when God entered in, it backed up, right? When God entered in, the whole situation changed, right? The expert says this. The housing market says that, you know, but God, all right? We are not limited to this economy. We are not limited to what this earth tries to tell us that we are limited to. Can you say amen? So then it says in verse 16, it says, so then the waters that came down from above, two things, stood and rose up in a heap. Those are two different Hebrew words. It rose up in a heap far off at Adam. This, I'm reading this from the Amplified. The city that is beside Zarethan, and those flowing down, okay, so the stuff upstream backs up. The stuff downstream drains away. Right? I mean, this is just, we understand this. Those waters going downstream were wholly cut off and the people passed over. So as soon as the presence of God was carried in, what was happening in the natural was broken. Whatever was going on in the earth that would prevent them or prevent us from stepping into the fullness of the promise was broken. And it was broken by the power and presence of God. It says that the waters upstream stood up. And that word means to stop forward progress or be held back. We get that. It's like the river was dammed up, right? What I want us to see today, for us, we carry the presence of God. We are the people who live in His covenant. We are the people who carry His presence. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when we find depression or hopelessness, when we find discouragement, when we find something broken in this earth, when we find sickness or disease, when we find, there's this culture of deception being generated in our country and in the world today, this deception about identity, about men thinking they can be women, women thinking they can be men, people thinking they can be animals. I mean, there's a tremendous, like I've seen deception, but I've never seen deception like we have today. There is demonic deception going on in people's lives. We can take it off of that subject and talk about just the deception that we feel like, hey, I can make everything happen. I don't need God. I don't need anybody else. I don't need anything. That's a deception. That's a lie. We're not made for that, okay? Money will solve all my problems. That's a lie, okay? That's a deception, okay? We just get the government right. Everything will be right. That's a lie. It's a deception. So we're people who can carry the presence of God in intercessory prayer, in our lives, in our actions, in the way we live, we build our families, we build our businesses, in all of that, we can carry the presence and the covenant into those situations and we can see them broken. But this verse, you know, so the water from upstream was stopped, it was held back. Okay. And then the other word rose up. It means to, just like what we read, it means to stand up, to rise up, to pile up. Okay. So Blue Mesa Reservoir, what is it? 20 miles long or something? It's pretty long. Something like that. That river is dammed and the water backs up. We get that. It was 16 miles upstream to this town called Adam. And when the priests carried the ark in there, the water backed up 16 miles up to this town called Adam. God's good to show us this stuff. When we put a dam on a river, it backs up, it rises up, but we build ways in to let water out. Otherwise, it would flow over the top. There are some dams that are built that way. It gets high enough, it just flows over the top. Other ones have spillways, so it doesn't get that high. And then they also release water, usually from the bottom. Why? Because if you dam it up, it's not going to just rise up. It's going to find its way over or around to go downstream. This didn't do that. And I believe there's a message in there about anything that God breaks in our life, anything where his presence comes in, and you may have something in your background, your family may have been addicts for the last 10 generations. They may have been greedy. They may have been abusive. They may have been whatever. You may have been whatever. We all have a past. When Jesus steps into that thing and into our lives, whatever that was that he has delivered us from, whatever he has broken in our lives, it does not have the right to follow you downstream. It doesn't have the right to sneak around and flow around like water naturally would. This water didn't do that. It stopped. It piled up. It was an absolute break in that flow that was trying to keep people out of the promised land. Does this make sense to you? The point here is your past has no right to define your future. Your past, even your past 5 minutes ago, okay, as you keep inviting Jesus into this thing, he has a new life for you. And you, I just love this point, you can be the place in your family line where whatever that thing that was caused by sin is, whatever it was, it can stop with you and not pass on to your kids, your grandkids, on to any more generations. Doesn't have to pass on down through your family. I don't care what it was. I don't care how strong it was. I don't care if you feel like you continue to fight with something good. Keep fighting. Because when Jesus comes in, what was in the past gets piled up and pushed back. Okay, does this make sense to you? Does it? Okay, seems clear to me. God's intervention isn't temporary. It's not partial. Okay, there are things that he delivers us from. And a part of us standing is taking the stand that whatever that was has no right to go beyond me, okay? And what was can just drain away, all right? So that the scripture tells us that the presence of God and the covenant went in and it backed that flow up to a town called Adam. Well, we know that sin and death entered into the earth through Adam, through that first Adam. The work of Christ has brought a power through the cross that goes all the way back to Adam. The power of sin is broken all the way back to Adam. The power of death in the earth, the sin and death, all of the misery that arises from sin entering into the earth, there is available to us through the cross. There's nothing that came out of sin entering this earth. There is nothing that came that wasn't addressed by what Jesus did at the cross. Does that make sense to you? And that's not just, let's just look at Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 8. You can read in Romans chapter 5. I mean, Paul makes this point over and over and over in Romans chapter 5 that what happened at the cross dealt with sin and death. It sin and death reigned from Adam to the cross, and now it's defeated. Okay? And we have to remember that we still live in a fallen planet. We still live, but we can appropriate that power of life from him, and sin no longer has to reign in our lives. And you can read the whole book of Romans, okay? But especially, you know, chapter 1 through 8. But I want to bring this point out before we move on. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I'm going to read this to you from the Passion Translation. It says, "I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that's about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it is not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed, for this is the hope of our salvation." Okay? The whole sin didn't just affect humanity, it affected all of creation. There was no decay in the original creation. There was no rust. There was no fungus that eats everything. There were no weeds. I could believe for that. There were no weeds. Okay. There was no death. And when the Bible talks about the power of sin and death, it's talking about all of that decay. Sin rots and robs our lives. Sin creates all of these things. I'm not just talking about each of our personal sin, the sin condition of the earth, but it affected the entire universe. And it says now, and we're looking at this passage, you know, as an analogy of where we stand, when Jesus went to that cross, everything that sin had produced was pushed back all the way to Adam. Now, we're still living. It's not complete yet. And these verses make that clear. We haven't experienced the resurrection yet. Jesus hasn't come back yet. We're in this weird in-between time where all of what Christ has done is promised, but we're here with this assignment to, by faith, receive and distribute the things that he produced and the things that he won for us at the cross. And so, even creation will respond to our faith and our words and our prayers, okay? All of creation, the Greek language there is so powerful. It is a picture of all of the universe, all of creation. When it says stretched out here, it is. That the wording in the Greek, it's something that is on tiptoe with its neck stretched forward, anticipating this freedom that comes for the children of God and through the children of God. Well, we get to experience some of that in this time, okay? We're not going to get all of it yet, okay? Not because God's withholding it, because we still have some issues in our own hearts occasionally. Just occasionally, we're not fully in faith about something, right? Can we agree on that? Once in a while, we're not 100% there, okay? So this is where we are. We're in this in-between time. But that picture back in Joshua is an incredible picture of that river, that barrier being broken and pushed 16 miles upstream all the way to a town called Adam. Who, you know, why was there a town called Adam up there? I think it's so that we would know this. All right. Are you with me? Okay. So I want to read these verses again. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, it says, here's what they did when they got in the water. Okay, we've got 15 minutes left. You need to get this. When they got in the water, it says they stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Joshua chapter 4, verse 10 tells us this. Now the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything the Lord had commanded Joshua was done. They remained standing. Now we've been saying for weeks, we in this New Testament, the Lord tells us in the scripture, we are his priests. We carry his presence. What they did when they entered this impossible situation is they remained standing. This is such a key for us. When we enter into intercession, when we enter into praying over our community or our nation or our family or our business or someone who's sick or whatever, sometimes we get an instant answer, and that's wonderful. We all love that. We all celebrate that. But many times what we are called to do is to stand firm on dry ground. I believe that speaks of on the covenant, okay? And they stood firm. They had God's presence and God's covenant. The covenant is the scripture. We live in the new covenant. The scripture tells us what our rights, I hate to use that term because it's so messed with in our, that's become such a selfish thing in our world today, but nevertheless, if you went into a court of law, you go in there knowing what the law says. If you go into a meeting and you're going to talk about, maybe you're going to a homeowners association meeting, you need to research and know what your rights are, what is written already. We go in there with what is written. Lawyers go into those trials with what is written in the law. This is what it says. Our Constitution was made that way. This is what it says. It restrains the federal government to this extent. And if we want to change that, there's a process for that. We don't just go around it. But let's not go there today. When we go into prayer, we need to know what we're standing on. We need to know what does the Word of God say? What promise has been given to me? If I'm going to go pray for somebody that is sick, I need to know that the Scripture says that by the stripes of Jesus, that healing has already been provided. If they're a believer, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in and is right now quickening their mortal body. God is the God who forgives all of our sins and heals all of our diseases. If I'm going to go into that situation, I'm going to stand on that word and on that covenant. And sometimes, for your family, you need to know what the promises are for your sons and daughters. You need to know what the promises are for your community. We need to know what the promises are because many times we are called to stand there with those promises until everything that the Lord had commanded Joshua was done. They didn't just go in and go across in front of everybody. They stood there holding back what was trying to keep people out. Does this make sense to you? Standing is incredibly important for us. Those people only got to go in because somebody stood firm in the middle of the Jordan River. And unfortunately, a lot of times, and this is just part of our culture, you know, hey, I want it now. It should be instant. I want it right now. And if we don't get it right now, then we think we made a mistake. God doesn't love me. God didn't come through, something or other. When many times we're just called to stand and to pray. We might stand and pray for the rest of our lives and somebody else will pick it up and continue through their lives. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 tells us. A lot of those people that are heroes of faith in God's eyes never experienced the fullness of the promise. People hate it when I say that, but it's the truth. I've had people come and tell me they hate it when I say that, but it's the truth. We're called to stand. We are called to stand. Are you receiving this? Please receive this. Okay? So, to stand means, all right, it means you take a stand. All right? I take a stand. That means I outwardly, openly, I use my words, I use my actions, okay, to hold on to what is true. I take the attitude in my heart, I will not be moved. However long it takes, I will not be moved. I will stand here knowing what God has said and that he is good for his word. I will speak that way. I will act that way. I will pray that way. I will live in that place. I will not relent. I will not give up. I will not turn back. I will not compromise and say, well, maybe this much is okay. Maybe God didn't really mean, for that, and people will help you with this. People will help you to compromise with a religious attitude all day long. I'm standing for this person's complete healing. Well, maybe it's just God's will that they be sick because he's trying to teach them something. Jesus said that the way he teaches us and even the way he disciplines us is through his word, not by putting something that he died to take away on your body. God makes more sense than we do. Jesus died as a substitute for us. The Bible makes that clear. So that we wouldn't have this in our life. Well, now he's putting it on us. That's a kingdom divided against itself. That is not the kingdom of God. Do you know what I'm talking about? So if people are helping you to give up, if people are helping you to quiet down, chill out, compromise, it's okay if you have your beliefs. That's okay. Just don't talk about it. Don't act like it. Don't post something about it. Then you're offending me. Well, too bad. I'm sorry. Jesus offended tons of people. I'm not out there to offend you. But if you get offended by the truth, that's really not my problem. Okay? I'm here as a representative of Christ to see people set free, to see people come to Christ, to see this hopelessness and destruction broken in people's lives. Does this make sense to you? I hope so. You're pretty quiet. All right, so it says they stood firm. That means to progressively establish and make something solid and immovable. So a lot of times when we first get into something, we're not 100% there either, okay? But we go to the Word and we find out, okay, this is what the Word says. This is what I'm seeing and experiencing. And we spend that time with God and we progress. We want to stand firm. And the only way you can stand firm is to be standing on his word and in his presence, knowing that you are called to carry his presence and his covenant. There are a lot of terms in the New Testament that are legal terms. They are taken from legal actions in the Greek language. They are lawyer terms. That's what they are. The covenant between Jesus and the Father that we have been brought into is an established legal truth in the spirit realm. And we are called to bring it into this earth until Jesus comes back and release and enforce what Jesus did at the cross. We're not enforcing it against people. We're enforcing it against the devil who wants to rob people. Let's read these verses, if you could go over with me to Ephesians chapter 6. You guys know these, but we're going to read them today. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. I'm reading from the Amplified here. It says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. I love this. Be empowered through your union with him. That's an ongoing situation. I need to be empowered again and again and again. I need to be empowered continually through my union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. So what are we standing against? All the strategies and deceits of the devil. For listen, people, listen to this one. Get this today. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood unless they're going to vote for somebody we don't like. Then we're wrestling with... No, it says we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. And here's what it tells us. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. Stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Okay, having done all to stand, stand. All right, so we're not going to have time for it today. We may come back to this. There are things we have to do as we come into taking a stand. Having done all to stand, well, what does that mean? Well, part of it is putting on that full armor of God, and we're not going to have time to study all of that out today. Those are spiritual truths. You know, when I was a young Christian, I don't know why. There were a lot of goofy things. I didn't do this, but there were a lot of people who, they'd go through these motions. You know, oh, I'm putting on the full, I've got the helmet of salvation, the breastplate, and they'd go through these motions, and that was it. These are truths. Salvation actually guards your mind, okay? It is a helmet. That sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That breastplate of righteousness, it guards your heart to know who you are in Christ. These are real truths that we need to get into our hearts. That's part of having done all to stand. But then it says, you know, and another one, forgiveness is absolutely essential. Whenever Jesus, I don't know if whenever is quite right, but many times when Jesus taught on prayer, in fact, Mark 11 comes to mind, where he talked about powerful, mountain-moving prayer and immediately said, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. We can't just snap our fingers and make that happen. We have to commit to the Lord. Lord, I choose forgiveness. I choose to release this person, release this situation. Holy Spirit, help me. Work this deep within me. But I choose to forgive. My mind starts to get mad at them again. No, I forgive. Lord, help me. I repent of that thought. I repent of that attitude. Lord, help me. Okay? But when Jesus taught about prayer, he did the same thing in Matthew chapter 6. He taught us how to pray, and right in there, third chunk was forgive people as you've been forgiven, right? That's one of the things we have to do to stand. It's having done all to stand, though, stand. It says stand. It tells us, and, oh man, I wish I had another half hour. You're glad I don't, but I wish I did. You only have two choices when you're believing God for something. When you're believing to see something change, or you're asking and you're believing God, you're standing on a scripture, you've got two choices. You stand or you quit. Those are the only two choices there are. You stand or you quit. And I've had people come for prayer, and they I'll pray with them, and we'll talk about what they've done and what scriptures they're standing on and everything, and just encourage them to stand. Well, I don't want to stand. It's like, well, then quit. God will still love you if you quit. You just won't get what you're standing for. And that's not because God's mean. It's because it's a partnership with God. This life is a partnership. We're not just spectators. But, you know, well, I don't want to quit. Well, then stand. You know, well, but I don't want to stand. I'm tired. Well, then quit. You know, but I don't want to quit. Then stand. It's the only two choices that you have in this situation. So we have to keep preparing ourselves, keep drawing that strength from him, and stand. Okay? He'll uphold you. It says he'll even cause you to stand. His servant, it says, will stand because God will cause him to stand. Okay? It's just we've got to decide that. So it says, just wrap this up. Tells us, stand your ground. So you have to know what your ground is. Your ground is anything that Jesus died to prevent you from having to go through. Anything that Jesus died to free you from, that's your ground. Possession of anything that we find that he died to give us, that's our ground. And it's not just our ground. My family is my ground. This community is my ground. Wherever God gives you authority, that's your ground. That's not the devil's ground. And we're not here standing. We've got to know. We've got to believe it's our ground in the first place. And then we've got to know. We've got to be fighting the right enemy. I'll just wrap it up with this. We have to be fighting the right enemy. If you have convinced yourself that people are the problem or that people are the solution, you're fighting the wrong battle. This is a spiritual battle, okay? Worse yet, if you have convinced yourself that God is the problem, that God is withholding, or a lot of people are fighting a battle trying to get God to move. God already moved in Christ. All the promises of God are yes and amen to you today in Christ. God already moved in Christ. All right? We're not fighting with him. We're not trying to wring something out of him. He's not withholding from us. Okay? We are standing in this earth, standing in this whole mess that goes on in this earth because sin being here, and we're stepping into those situations to push them all the way back to Adam and to see people go free and into the promises of God, okay, including ourselves. God's not the one. God's not the one withholding what he has already promised, all right? There's a lot of theology out there like that, and you may have grown up in it. You may have grown up thinking that God was your problem. And that sounds terrible, but I mean, a lot of people do. If you think about it, a lot of people do. Well, I'm just here to tell you today, God's not your problem. There is an enemy out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you and from others, all right? And we are here to stand our ground on that covenant, on that legal covenant. So we got to take that word. This is what Jesus did, right? When the devil came to tempt him, all right? What did he say? It is written, all right? He stood on the word. Jesus, who is the word, stood on the word. It filled his prayer. It was all he said. It is written. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He stood on the word. If we're not standing on the word, we're not standing on anything. Okay? Boy, I wish I had another half an hour. Let's stand up and pray. I hope you got something out of that. Let's stand up and pray today. Thank you, Father. Lord, today, Father, I'm just trusting you. I don't feel like I made this totally clear. So, Father, I'm just trusting you to make clear what you're trying to get across to us today. Father, to each individual heart, and for those, Lord, that are standing today, I just pray like we did earlier for someone, Lord, who is saying it'll never change. Father, I just pray for an infusion of your word into their hearts, for an infusion of strength, for an infusion of encouragement to stand their ground. And Father, for any who would, Lord, we come together as far as our community and our nation and this church and our families and all of that. Father, we come together and we choose to take a stand. We choose, Father, to stand on the ground that you have given us so that people can be set free. People can move into your promises and the life that you have given to us. And I just pray, Lord, we're all in different places, but I know that we have the Holy Spirit in us to coach us and guide us and lead us and strengthen us and give us, Lord, what we need for our stand in our place. So I thank you for that today, Father. And I just, for anybody who would agree with me, we just commit to standing our ground for you and with you in this earth today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are going to be dismissed this morning. As always, there are a lot of goodies out there. I hope people will hang out and fellowship together as much as you can, get to know one another. So glad all of you came to church today. I hope you are too. Let's say this on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin, and the world will be dismissed. One, two. two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Remember, if you want to get together and pray over missionaries, see Kay Lee. All right? Go out and be the church.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.